June 16, 2004. I'll be talking with Zan Arnold, who was one of the victims of polio in the 1950 epidemic here in Lithville. And he was featured in the Look magazine article in 1951. They have his picture in there. He was 3 years old. Beautiful little boy. And we'll just start out with our general questions, Zan. Well, you may not remember. I was going to ask you to describe your life here or life in the community at the time, but you were three.
Yeah, 3 years old. Uh-huh.
You have any memories? Probably not.
Not really, not at that age. You know, I remember remember some of the things about the polio epidemic. I remember back at the time, back in the 50s, they had the old Ringer wash machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that when I had polio, they came to the house and they would boil water and put wool blankets down in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And run them one time through an old Ringer type washer. And then they would run through the house and stand me up in a, I was in a baby crib, and they would stand me up and wrap me up in those wool blankets. Mm. Would have been that boiling water.
Wow. That's for the muscles, I guess.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I imagine you've heard your family talk about it a lot.
Yes.
Over the years.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a crisis for them. Do you know how long you were sick?
Let's see. Well, I spent 18 days in Roanoke Hospital. Mm. I was paralyzed in my back.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I spent 18 days there. My doctor here was Dr. A.B. Grubb.
Oh.
And he was my doctor here, and he probably got me over the worst of it, maybe, but they sent me to Roanoke.
Mm-hmm.
And he told my parents not to let them tap my spine. See, when they were, when they took them to Roanoke, they would tap their spines.
Mm-hmm.
Have a spinal tap, and he told my parents not to let them do that.
Do you know why he thought you shouldn't?
I don't know. I don't know whether he thought it would cause more paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
or what the purpose behind it was.
So you couldn't move your back?
Yeah, I was paralyzed in my back, yeah. I spent 18 days there in Roanoke.
Did you have to be in an iron lung?
No, uh-uh.
What do you remember, or what do you feel, what lifestyle changes did your family make because of the epidemic, and especially because...
Well, I don't recall them, you know, making any changes or anything that much. I remember that for like several years after that, probably till I was 8 or 9 years old, somewhere in there, that my legs would hurt. They hurt for that long. So probably I was 8 or 9 years old. I remember my dad would hold me, and my legs would hurt. I'd cry with my legs hurting.
Hmm.
Till I was probably about 8 or 9 years old.
And was I correct in saying that you were 3?
Yes, uh-huh.
When you came down with it? So, did it affect you in school in any way? Just the pain?
No, I didn't have any effects after I was probably 8 or 9. I never did have any effects of it. I've got probably 1 foot that's about an inch shorter than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't feel any effects of it.
And you just, when you became school age, you went to school and...
Yes, oh
and
yes.
Everything mm-hmm. was okay,
yeah.
except
mm-hmm.
for the pain
yeah,
that
the,
you had.
Yeah, so, you know, so I was probably 8 or 9, something like that. And, but other than that, yeah.
Were you the only child in your family who had it?
I don't know. My brothers may have had a little touch of it. I'm not sure. I've heard them talk like that they'd gotten sick, but they had, I was the only one that had it. But I don't know whether they had a little touch of it or not.
Well, one of the theories is that probably a lot of people had light cases.
Yeah.
And we just don't know.
Yeah.
Because
there were a lot of people in families that were members that were sick, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know, had light cases, yeah.
And where, what part of this area were you living in? Where did your family live?
We were around between Cripple Creek and Spiegel.
Were you out in the country, or were there other families close by? Or?
Well, no, we were out in the country, yeah.
So you don't know how you got it or how you were
No, I don't know. I don't know how you contacted it. I don't know.
Yeah, not many people do.
No.
It's just one of those unlucky things.
Yeah.
That summer.
Yeah.
Being three, you probably can't remember your reaction. But over the years, what have you heard your family talk about?
Well, no, I mean they would talk about it, you know, like when they would come to town, you know, or the streets were just bare.
Mm.
They said people coming through, whole handkerchiefs over their face, and just move on through. You know, they didn't. Nobody stick around long.
Yeah.
Whipple is kind of like a ghost town, you know, through that
mm-hmm.
little period there.
Yeah, the summer. And they put signs up.
Yeah,
on the
right.
Outskirts
uh-huh.
about not taking a chance.
Right.
There's one picture in this article, and I made a copy for you too, of your dad carrying you out of the house.
Right.
That's
which my mom, which my mom still lives there.
Really?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Cripple Creek, I see here.
Yes.
Uh huh.
Cripple Creek. Uh huh.
As a little boy, you were probably really scared to be taken off to Roanoke Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You probably didn't know really what was happening.
I really don't remember much about it now.
Were you the youngest child in the
yes,
family?
Yes, uh-huh.
And how many other children? Just two others?
There were me and two brothers.
And they show no effects?
No. Uh-huh.
That's good. Some people get this post-polio syndrome later in life, and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're fortunate. Do you remember much about when the shot came out, or the sugar cube? I think it came out
yes.
first.
I was in high school when that came out, and I took those, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did people react to that?
Well, they didn't seem to have any problem with it. People with the kids taking it,
mm-hmm.
but they were giving it to kids in high school.
Mm-hmm. Well, after 1950, I imagine they were glad to get it.
Yeah.
When you heard your family talk about it, do you remember any wonderful Dr. Mews. If you lived in town, you could drive by and see that sign where they put the numbers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could drive through town and see the signs. But other than that, I never did hear my parents say much about that. I don't know. You know, just other than, you know, they would come to town and, you know, the signs were out. And that's basically all I remember them saying
mm-hmm.
about it.
They were probably so absorbed in making sure you were okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know how long they kept you at home before they took you to Roanoke? How long you were sick?
No, I don't really remember. I never did hear them say how long I was at home. It probably wasn't very long.
Now, did Dr. Grubb make house calls in those days?
Yes, uh-huh. Sure did, yeah.
Was he in Roanoke Creek?
No, he was in the town of Cripple Creek.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had his office in the town of Cripple Creek.
Oh, well, that was handy
mm-hmm.
for the family.
Yeah, because it was only like maybe two and a half miles from where we live.
But did he actually come to the house?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he made house calls, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and another time.
Yeah.
They did that.
Yeah.
Did you know anyone else, neighbors or friends who had polio?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I know it's got, let's see.
Some pictures of some other boys and girls. Do you have this page?
Yes. Uh-huh. Went to school with Sammy Mills. He had it at the same time.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's see. And Jimmy Wolford.
Uh-huh.
And went to school with those guys. Mm-hmm.
Several years later, I guess.
We all had it at the same time, but yeah. I went to school. We went to school together. Uh huh.
Did they talk about it much, or?
No, I don't ever recall them talking about it too much.
Mm-hmm. They just knew they had survived it.
Yeah, but they never did say much about. Neither one of them ever said anything much about it. I never did hear them talk about it.
It's interesting. Maybe people were still afraid, so afraid,
yeah.
Before the vaccine.
Yeah.
Do you remember how you found out they had it? They told you?
Just through the pictures there. We went to school together.
Mm-hmm.
And
magazine.
Yes. Uh huh.
And your mom still has some copies of the magazine.
Yes. Uh huh. Yeah. I think we have two of the original copies. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The pictures of you are good pictures. You look like a sweet little boy there working with the therapist. Do you remember ever coming to Gibney Hall or anywhere for therapy? Or did they, I don't know where this...
That was probably the health clinic, yeah. I don't remember too much about coming to it now.
But they probably did bring you.
Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, that's where I came over and... This is probably where the pictures were taken.
Mm-hmm.
At the health clinic, yeah.
That building is no longer here.
No.
At Gibney Hall.
Yeah.
that when the country, our country, had that outbreak of anthrax, which is a different disease, a couple
uh-huh.
years ago,
mm-hmm.
and the first week of it, no one knew what was going on. They were just, you know, getting very sick. Did that make you think back to the polio epidemic?
Well, yeah, it made me think back to it, yeah.
Same kind of fear of the unknown,
yeah.
not knowing why one person, well,
yeah.
they had the letters. But there was an article written about Whitfield by a reporter in Florida, because he tried to find a city that, or a town that had survived that kind of scary, you know, sudden disease outbreak. And,
mm-hmm.
and so he did a story on Whitfield. Because it seems that the town handled it so well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, the town, yeah. They handled it real well. Yeah, the best I can remember, you know, from my parents talking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was the radio much a part of your house during that time, or just before most of us had TV?
Yes, uh-huh, it was, radio was, television came along a few years later, probably around 53 or 4 or somewhere along in there, you know, around the first television.
I guess you got WYBE
yeah.
from here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, apparently the radio programs helped a lot with children who had to be kept at home during
uh-huh.
storms. Do you remember listening to any children's programs?
Yes, uh-huh. I remember my grandfather, and he would get me and we'd listen to some of the stories they had. Like back then, I think it was like, believe it was like Uncle Remus or something like that, I believe. And, you know, they had different stories like that, yeah. They would have those about every evening on the radio. I remember those, yeah.
Do you remember a game you played by listening to the radio called Reco? I've seen mention of it in articles, but I haven't really talked to anyone who played that game.
No, I don't recall it.
If you could get a prize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But there again, you were probably too young.
Yeah, I was probably too young at the time, yeah.
Do you remember much about your brothers, or were you isolated from them once you got sick?
Not really, no. I don't remember too much about them. You know, like I say, that was.
You were so young.
Yeah, I was young. Yeah. Basically, about the main thing I can remember about it, you know, when I was at the age, I remember the place. Which I had two little shoes, white shoes. They were about 5 or 6 inches long. These little white shoes that I wore. They had a brace across them, so I couldn't move my feet. My feet were held straight, and I couldn't move my feet. And I can remember the exact spot and everything where my granddad took those braces off those little shoes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
About how old were you then?
Let's see, I'd say I was probably around 4 or something like that.
But you remember the
spot. I remember the exact spot. I remember him taking those braces off those little shoes. They just had a little metal brace across the bottom of them, and where my feet couldn't move, and they were just, my feet were straight. Mm-hmm.
So that was a big moment that you realized.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
It probably slowed you down.
Yeah.
Playing with the other kids.
Well, at 3 years old, you see, I wasn't out in the going too much at the time, but, you know, after I got those off and, you know, got to going to school, no, it didn't bother me. Hmm.
So that probably made a difference in how well you healed.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, because I remember the county nurse, I think it was Miss McAllister, I think was her name. I remember her coming over, you know, like I say, I remember them coming through and wrapping me up in those wool blankets. I remember that, which I'm sure that was a big help, you know.
Uh-huh.
I may not have thought it at the time, but...
It's been a little scary.
Yeah.
Why are they
but,
doing this?
Yeah. But that was probably one of the main things that helped me.
Did you have any kind of boards or a special bed or where you had to sleep? Some people had a footboard.
Yeah. Not that I recall, no.
You had the braces.
Yeah, I just had the little braces on my feet there. Yeah.
So this moment you remember of removing the braces, where were you?
I was in my mom's yard. We had an old building there. Well, it's gone now, but it was like a shop or a building. And I was there with my grandfather when he took those off.
Did he live nearby?
Yeah. Well, he's deceased, but yeah, they lived probably about a couple of miles from us. Yeah.
I bet that was a big moment for him, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Does your family have pictures? I know we have the pictures from the Look magazine article, but they have any pictures of you when you were sick?
No, I think these were the only pictures, yeah. I don't recall any of them having any pictures other than the ones that were in the magazine.
Hmm. You were too young to probably remember whether you knew anyone who lived in an iron lung or whether you ever saw iron lungs.
No, I don't never recall seeing them. There was a picture of I think there was a picture in the magazine of
it
was in that one, huh? Yeah. Let's see. I think there was a person there lived. I think he lived in Speedwell there. I think his name was. I think he was Hale, I believe.
Mr. Hale.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he was in the iron mine. Yeah.
A lot of people knew him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He came down with it in 1944. But he was in
1944.
Mm-hmm. There was a.
I never realized it was that ongoing.
There was. In 1944, I think there were 25 cases, which is quite a bit for this small place. But
I didn't realize that. I was thinking the whole thing was right around the 50s. I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew he had been in the iron lung, but I didn't realize that it was that ongoing.
It was getting worse each year. From about, in 1916 in New York, they had the first epidemic, they called it. But, you know, there are a lot of people there.
Uh-huh.
But then it began to pick up and get worse each year.
Uh-huh.
And then that year, 1950 here, nobody knows still why the concentration was so bad.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard any stories or theories of why that might have been, or what caused it? I mean, back in that time, we didn't know.
No, we just didn't know what caused it. I don't know whether anybody ever knew what caused it or not.
They did figure out that it was a virus that you had to swallow. In other words, touch something that had the germ on it.
Yeah.
And it had to go through your intestinal system. But they had all these theories like that flies caused it, that even dogs. There were some far out theories.
No,
because
yeah.
Because we simply didn't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when something like that's going on, you begin to imagine what might happen. But they don't have a definite answer for that yet.
No, I've never heard anybody say anything, you know. Or did they pinpoint anything definite or not? Never did. Never heard anybody say.
One theory is that since you have to swallow the germ or the virus, that maybe it was the town branch, or you know, because a lot of the sewage went into the branch before we had. It was in 1952 that they created the sanitation system, the public one. But it was partly because of this epidemic they thought they better go ahead and get that up and going. But really, there were still a few cases until the vaccine. So.
Yeah, there were a few random cases up till the vaccine. Yeah, yeah, it sure was.
But that one summer still was just so remarkable for a small place. I lived in Smith County and we had it there too, but just a few cases every summer. Not anything as severe as 1950 here.
Let's see now. I think the best I can remember wasn't there like three different vaccines that they had for it, I believe.
Well, I know of two.
Yeah.
First, they put it on a sugar cube.
Right.
And then later, they put it into a shot.
Uh huh.
And they may have had several kinds of shots.
Yeah.
It started out with the sugar cube.
Right, started out with the sugar cube, I remember those, yeah.
And they found there was some risk to that. Maybe a few cases of the real thing happened. Just because the way they put it on the sugar cube, it was still a live virus. And then they found they could kill the virus and put it in a shot. And there was less chance of getting sick from it. But I imagine some people were afraid to let their kids get vaccinated, but they were afraid not to. You know, because, as it turns out, it's safest.
Yeah, sure did,
Whitfield has been described as a town that kept its head and stayed calm to get through that summer in a newspaper like the Washington Post. And, of course, you were three, but have you heard your parents or anyone talk about how the communities dealt with it? I mean, how... you were out in the country, but still, part of this community.
Yeah. But, you know, just from my parents and talking, you know, everybody pretty level-headed about it. They didn't, no big panic over it, I don't think. But, like I say, I was kind of young. I just remember my parents just talking some about it, you know, like when they come to town, how vacant the town was. Basically, all I could ever remember them talking about it.
Did you hear anything about spraying a lot? Because they sprayed a lot in town with DDT.
Yeah.
Just in case it helped it. They're not sure that it did, but it did help people feel that they were doing something.
Yeah.
And one person has told me about an airplane flying over and dropping flour, you know, like cooking flour, a dust, to kind of, there was some theory that that might help.
That's pretty interesting. You know, there's a lot that a lot of things I haven't heard, yeah.
We have this program, and we hope, you know, to bring all that out.
No, that'd be great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it does seem, from what we can tell, that people didn't panic. They took what precautions they could.
Especially
out of downtown, right? Can you think of anything we should mention about it that we haven't touched on? You think of any? You know, we today have to live with this threat of bioterrorism,
right?
And they do use some germs, you know, they can use some germs in that. Do you think we've learned anything that we could apply to the present?
Don't know exactly how to answer that.
You don't have to. We may not know yet.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. You wouldn't know, you know, the only thing I can think, you know, the epidemic we went through, how well the community around coped with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's that was a big factor, getting through that, you know.
They closed the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And public places like that, especially where children might go.
Right.
Some people, one reporter rather, has called from that time, from an old newspaper, has said it was a summer without children here in town.
Uh-huh.
Because the children were kept.
Children were kept in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they kept their children in, yeah.
Do you know of any folk medicine that people tried to, if they got polio, or tried to build themselves up so they wouldn't get it? Have you heard any?
I haven't heard anybody say, Dr. Grubb was my doctor, and he would come to the house and heard mom talk about him, give him a shot, you know. I don't recall what it was or anything, but yeah, he was my doctor there. He got me over the worst part of it.
Hmm. I imagine he came almost every day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In those days.
Yeah.
We have a picture of him that we'll have. We have a picture of each doctor
uh-huh.
in the area that was uh-huh. practicing in 1950
uh-huh.
that we're going to have on a big display.
Oh, that's great.
On the 30th, we have our program. And we have his picture.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay, I think that's covered the questions I have. Can you think of anything else that we might want to keep a record of?
Well, I think about covered it, yeah.
If we asked your mom today, what her memories are, what do you think she'd say? If she was a mom and she,
yeah. I'm sure she was, she was concerned for my health and everything. I'm sure
where does she keep her Look magazines that the article is in?
She keeps them in a piano bench. Under a piano bench, uh-huh.
Does she ever get them out when company comes?
She used to some, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably remembers the pictures being made.
Yeah, she would. Yeah, she would probably remember the pictures when they came over and took those. Yeah, she would. She would remember those. Yes.
On this page, it's really the whole story is about you.
Uh-huh.
And you look like such a sweet little boy, like you were cooperating with everybody. You must have felt a lot of love. And
those steps and everything, they're still there. All of that's still there.
Hmm. My goodness. 54 years.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think that covers the questions I have. Unless you can think of something else that might be good just in terms of history. Has that community changed much, the little town?
The little town of Cripple Creek, it hasn't changed all that much.
You see a lot of change in town?
Here in Whitfield, yes, there's quite a bit of change.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's happening right now, too.
Yeah, it sure is. Yeah, yeah. There's quite a bit of change going on in town. Uh-huh. Out in the little communities, there's still basically about the same. Yeah.
It's pretty country.
Uh-huh.
Do you have children there?
I have a daughter.
Has she ever asked you about having polio?
No, she's autistic.
Oh.
Yeah, she's never talked.
Mm. Is she home with you?
No, she's with my ex-wife.
Mm.
I'm remarried.
That's a tough problem.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, I think this covers what I wanted to ask you about, and I really appreciate your contributing to this.
Yeah, if there's anything I can do to help you with it, just let me know. Yeah.
You will. I was so happy to find out where you were from Mr. Warren, Gene Warren.
Yeah, I know Gene, uh-huh.
Because we had looked at these pictures so much, and the sweetest looking little boy. You'll get lots of love, I think. So, well, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.